Hey guys, this is Joe McGee. You know, we've been doing seminars across the country for years. Seminars on marriage, parenting, men, money, and family. I want to encourage you to email us and let us know if this podcast has helped you, and maybe you've joined us live at one of our seminars. If you have a testimony or just want to tell us what God's doing in your life, please email us at mail@joemcgeeministries.com, or you can contact us through our website, joemcgeeministries.com. There you'll find helpful articles and tools to help you grow in God, grow in your marriage, and grow in your family. We love you guys. We hope you enjoy the podcast. Hello, this is Joe McGee. Welcome to Faith for Families. We're going to be talking about bad habits today. We're in a whole long series on organization and uncluttering, how to organize and unclutter your life so you can live a streamlined life, so you can accomplish things in life you want to accomplish. You don't live a wasted life with your time being stolen, wasted doing things that really don't pertain to you. We've talked about a lot of good things. We've been talking about time, that everybody has the same amount of time, 24 hours a day. Again, you sleep 8, you work 8. If you're working a 40-hour normal work week, maybe you're working a lot more. That leaves you maybe 6 hours because you got to take in an hour to get ready to go to work and an hour to come home, unwind, go to the grocery store, whatever. So that leaves you 6 hours of your own personal time, still needing to do the dinner, the dishes, and mow the grass, take care of the kids, help with algebra, go to a ball game. So really, your own time to accomplish something significant in life is really short. And so we've talked about the importance of goals, the importance of finding out what's really valuable to you. If it's not on your value list, then why are you doing it? If it's not important to you, why are you putting time into it? What is it going to do for you or somebody else? And so help people recognize and identify what it is they really want to accomplish in life. Because God's a God of increase. God's a God of order. God is a God of stewardship. The better I steward something, the more I get to play with. It's just that simple. Parable of the talents, Matthew 25:14. 5 got 5 more, went to 10, well done. Let's celebrate together, the master said. 2 doubled to 4, well done, you good and faithful servant. But the one who just buried it, you wicked and lazy servant. I expect you to do more with it than when I left it with you. In other words, when I come, you give me back more than I left you. Jesus said it this way, I'm the vine and you're the branch. If you don't bear me fruit, I'll lop you off and put you in the fire. 90% of what we deal with in our life every day is just habits that we've developed. 90% of what we deal with daily are habits, many of them bad habits that we develop. Maybe we picked up from our parents or a friend, or we just developed on our own. And I tell you, the quality of our future depends on the habits that we develop. And so what we're going to do today is try to identify some of those bad habits, you know, because Oliver Wendell Holmes, I love this quote. Oliver Wendell Holmes wrote this years ago. He said, we all need an education in the obvious. We all need an education in the obvious. In other words, that's why I tell people you need good friends. Proverbs 27:17, as iron strikes iron, so the countenance of a friend. It takes somebody outside of us to tell us what we're really like. As face reflects in a mirror, so the countenance of a friend reflects to us. In other words, I need somebody outside me to tell me I'm being stupid. Or I need to get a handle on something, or I need to do something better. You need somebody outside of yourself. And so what happens is sometimes you get bad habits because maybe you don't have good relationships or friends. Or there's nobody in your life with permission to speak into your life. So nobody really knows you well enough to be honest with you, so you just go in your own merry way, buried in mediocrity for the rest of your life. Certainly not something that we want to do. That's why the Bible has a lot to say about diligence. Give diligence to what you do. You know, it says the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. And the business of a diligent man, you know, will bring him before kings. The soul of the diligent is made rich. The thoughts of the diligent only tend to plenteousness. Diligence means you lock onto something and you do it. In other words, you develop a habit of being faithful. You know, one of the prerequisites to being in charge of anything, if you're looking for a manager, somebody to run a business, to manage something for you, the number one prerequisite for a manager of people or things, anything, is that they're faithful. You know, they're faithful. Faithful in what? Well, Jesus, faithful in little things, faithful in money, faithful in other people's things. In other words, your faith, you've proven yourself. Know those who labor among you, the Bible says. In other words, I know you by your doings. What are you? Are you diligent? Are you faithful? Are you consistent? Or do you have a lot of bad habits, like you can't show up to work on time? You got some other bad habit. Your heart may be right. You've just developed some incredibly bad habits. So what we're going to do is we're going to just go through some that you might want to think about correcting. Because we're talking about setting goals, living a quality life, living a successful life, having a good name, good reputation in the community. You know, that's always got a good name to be chosen more than riches, silver, and gold. When the apostles got busy buried trying to take care of widows and feed the poor and so forth, they were no longer able to study and read the word, which is critical to keep the church growing. So the Spirit of God said, he said, find seven men who are honest, full of me, and have a good reputation in the community to put in charge of this business, that you might continue to give yourselves to prayer and fasting, study of the word. Which is what they did. That's where we got the deacons and the elders. And we got Stephen and he goes through the whole list of people. And it was just an incredible thing for the Spirit of God to do. But what happens is many times in our lives, we have developed habits that are holding us back. The reason we don't have enough time, that we're disorganized, that we're living a cluttered life is we've just gotten bad habits of dropping stuff at the door when we go home, not putting things back up, not putting the lid back on the milk. You know, you can think of a dozen things that are frustrating, especially if you're a parent. You know, pick your towels up off the floor, clean out the tub, clean the toilet, take your dishes back to the sink. You're burying, and moms do it notoriously. Just, my kids have buried me in work. I'm the only one that works, they say. Now I'm the only one that does anything. Well, that means you've done a poor job of training your family. You know, most men, I tell wives, most men will do exactly what you tell them to do. Don't nag at them. They don't respond to nagging, but they'll respond to a command. So here's some habits. Here's some bad habits that we've listed. You know, people have been surveyed. These are the top bad habits people have that really hurt your reputation, hurt your honor, hurt you financially, and can hurt you physically. You really need to give attention to. So here's the first. Number one, not returning phone calls. Real bad habit to have because this is personal. Listen, all of life is relationships. Almost all of business is relationships. You can't afford to burn a bridge. Your customers, your vendor, that's your life. And so you need to learn how to be honorable, to be professional. If they call you, they need something, they want something, call them back. So not returning phone calls, and especially on time, in a timely manner. So in today's society, today's technology, cell phones, you know, answering system services, there's no reason to not call somebody back in a timely manner. If you can't, at least let them know in your answering system or your secretary or somebody, they're going to be out of town for 2 days or a week, and they're not going to be able to return phone calls. But they will be able to call you back, you know, 7 days from now on the 5th or whatever it is it's going to be. And learn to be professional in returning phone calls. This is a relationship. These people need something from us. We need to get back with them. And I know everybody's busy. That's why we call these bad habits that really keep you from being successful. Learn to return phone calls in a timely manner. You know, I love this. Jesus said, call unto me and I'll answer you. You know, and so I like that. Jesus said, if you call me, I will answer you. So we should have the same philosophy in life and business. Somebody calls, I will answer you. We'll get back with it. Number two, being late for meetings and appointments. When you show up late anywhere, what you're saying is you do not value that other person because you don't value their time. You don't value them. If I'm late to anything, what I'm saying is, whatever I was just doing is more important than you. Unless somebody was dying, nothing was more important. If you've given your word, if it's scheduled, if it's planned, you're supposed to be at work at 9, be there. Now, there's an old saying my dad used to have, if you're on time, you're late. So it would really be good to start developing habits of being there early. Now, I usually have gotten real good about doing that. And I remember I was flying out of an airport the other day, and I knew it would only take me an hour and a half to get to the airport driving normal. So I allowed myself an extra hour for anything that might come up. So I should have an extra hour just to wait on my plane. Because by the time I got there, checked my luggage, turned in the rental car, got to the gate, I would have a whole hour, you know, just to relax, get my thoughts together, maybe make some phone calls, call the family, do some work on my computer, whatever, and not be rushed. So I left that hour because I don't like getting rushed. So I remember I did that. It was looking good. The airport was 155 miles away. 150 miles into the trip, 5 miles from the airport, I encountered 4 accidents on the highway. Thank God none of them were serious, but it had traffic slowed down to a stop. 4 within a 5-mile stretch, and I lost all of that 1 hour. Matter of fact, I lost a little bit more than an hour, and I was really pushing it to get in there. And so, but I made it on time, but I thought if I had not built in that buffer, I'd have not made that flight. And that was the last flight to where I was going that day. It means I would have missed a meeting, and then the domino effect would begin to happen. So don't be late. If you say you're going to be somewhere, honor that other person's value. Show you value them by being there when you say you're going to be there in a timely manner. Number three, poor communication between colleagues and your staff. Major problem in the workplace on a daily basis. We used to do seminars trying to help people with this. You cannot over-communicate. Now, you need to watch how you do it. It's not what you say so much as it is how you say it. Protect your colleagues and staff because you think you know what everybody's doing. You don't. I don't know what you're thinking. So in case you don't know, let me reiterate what the schedule is today, what needs to happen, who needs to be where. Because if one spoke is out of place, the others are useless. Because all this needed to work together. So you've got 5 out of 6 people, where they're supposed to be, with the reports, whatever they're supposed to. You got one who didn't get the communication for whatever, or misread or missed. And that one person, there's no reason, the rest of us cannot do our job because one person's missing. So you cannot over-communicate enough in the workplace. Here's the schedule. So I like calendars. I like wall calendars. I like emails. You know, I like pieces of paper. Here's what's going on today. I'm going to need you to be there. Number 4. Bad habit of lack of clarity about expected outcomes, you know, monthly targets, goals, and so forth. It's real important that you know what are we expecting here. You know, your kids do it in high school all the time. And I was a school administrator. Kids just show up, and it's like, it's the day of the science fair. And they show up at a science fair project. It's like, where's your project? Oh, man. Oh, Mr. McGee, is it today? I thought it was next Friday or whatever. I said, now, how long have you known about the science fair project? It's always 2 months, 8 full weeks. You know, for 8 weeks, you can do this project pretty much most of them in a couple of nights. Okay? A couple of nights. Yet you've had over 50 nights, you've not done a thing. And all of a sudden, here you're the last minute, and it's like you didn't remember it. Why? Because you didn't write it down. You didn't think it was important or whatever. That's why you're getting, even if you turn one in, you got half a grade. If you made 100, we can only give you a 50. If we give you 50, you can only earn a 25. And that's devastating, all because, you know, you didn't anticipate what was going on, you know. You didn't know what the schedule was. I used to teach, greatest thing you'll ever teach high school students or junior high is how to keep a calendar. How to keep a calendar and a to-do list. What is coming up tomorrow? What's coming up next week? Even today in my office, I've got a stand and I've got what they call an administrator's calendar. And I've got a computer and everything's on that. My secretary keeps it. But for my own benefit, I keep a handwritten calendar opened on my desk like a dictionary on a stand. And with that right there, I determine, you know, where I'm supposed to be, who's coming in, where I'm going. It's all in pencil. That way I can erase it, add to it. Got a special luncheon coming up tomorrow that wasn't scheduled. That way I don't take a chance of maybe a secretary or somebody not communicating it. I've got it on there, and I know where I'm supposed to be, what I'm supposed to be doing. So it's real important. So always try to do that. Lack of clarity about expected outcomes, monthly targets, goals, and so forth. Make sure everybody knows what we're supposed to be doing. Next, number 5, not allowing enough travel time for outside appointments. Always allow for traffic. Always allow for inclement weather, rain, a flooded road. If you travel, build in a buffer. Always build in a buffer. You know, build in an extra 30 minutes. Sometimes good to build in an hour. I know some people think, well, I don't want to waste time. I got a lot to do. Then in the electronic age, take your work with you so you've got it there when you go. Take your work with you when you go. You can always take a book, a paper, something you're supposed to read, check off. Not allowing enough travel time. Number 6, not attending to paperwork quickly and efficiently. Now, how many people you've gone to the desk are just piled up? I mean, it's just completely piled up. That's not a good sign. I go into my accountant's office, if the paper's piled up, it scares me. Why is all this paper piled up? Have I got paperwork in there? Am I in there somewhere? Because my paperwork's important. My financial records are important. So I want to know what you're doing, where it is, what we're doing with it. So make sure you take care of paperwork. You know, you don't want to handle it twice. That's an old saying. Handling mail more than once. Next thing, number 7. You know, you get the mail, you look at it. Don't open that mail if you're not going to deal with it right then. I know people are curious, so they want to open and see what it is. Then they'll lay it somewhere, and then it's out of the pocket. You know, maybe forms, a card, an RSVP. Don't open your mail until you're ready to deal with it. I tell people in the daily business world, what you want to do is wait till the end of your day, usually. You know, if I'm going to do emails or physical mail or whatever, and it shows, usually it shows up at 1 o'clock anyhow, another 2 hours are going to hurt. So around 3 o'clock is when I do mail. And then I want to make sure I deal with it then. So is this to be trashed? Is it junk mail? Is this something I need to hand to my secretary? Is this something that needs to be responded to right now? Is this a legal or an accounting thing? And then that way, I'm not studying. I'm not doing other stuff. I'm not having interviews. This is mail time. Take care of it. Get it where it's supposed to be. Open it once, deal with it once. Quit moving it around back and forth. You know, we had a thing one year where kids almost missed their ACT test exam because somebody opened it up, the card that said the time of the day got put somewhere else. So here's the form. You know, here's all the stuff you should bring. We just don't know where and when because we took the credit out of the envelope. Allowing bills to go unpaid, resulting in interest penalties. I tell people all the time, it's a bad habit to develop, and everybody seems to have it. Trillions of dollars are lost every year or made, depending on which company you are, because of late fees. You don't make your credit card payment, late fee is normally $29, $29.95, around $30 on a month. And if you did that every month, you know, that's $360 you don't have at Christmas time because you made your payment late. And I understand if you don't have money, you got laid off or something like that, that should be the exception, not the norm. The exception, not the norm. So pay your bills, pay them on time. If you open it up and you cannot pay it, call them. Guys, can't pay this month. I'm short on money. We've had some tough times. Let them know. And if you will, they'll waive that fee. Don't sit there and go further in debt. You know, make sure you pay your stuff on a timely basis. Get a folder, you can get it in any office supply place or whatever. Pay your bills in a timely manner because it hurts your credit rating. That stuff stays on your credit rating for 7 years. You can't get, and it shows where you, and if I don't know if you've ever seen a credit report or not, but they rate, for example, your mortgage, your electric company, your credit cards, it prints on your bill. Were you 30 days late, 60 days late, 90 days late? They even measure. And but there's stiff penalties. If you've been 90 days late two or three times, man, you're going to have a tough time getting a loan at anything under 20% interest because that's how they charge interest on you. It's been how timely you've been with making your payments. So you don't want to get late making your payments. Not following up on overdue of receivables. You know, it's just good business sense. Most people hire people that do this almost full time sometimes. Keep up with everything that's coming in and going out. You know, we ship a lot of stuff at our corporation, and it really upsets me if I promise that they'll get it in 2 to 3 weeks, and it shows up 4 weeks later. Nothing can upset me more than somebody call my office and say, we haven't received something. You know, we sent a check or we sent a credit card, and it's been 5 weeks. You said you get it out in 2 to 3. It's like, there's no reason. We've got a system set up. And actually, in our office, you should get it within 7 days. We don't print that because we've allowed some buffer because we don't want to lie. We want to be people of our word. So a bad habit to say you do something and then you're not going to do it. Talking instead of listening, real bad habit. One of the things we used to learn in business, if you're doing all the talking, you're not learning anything. We go to conferences or seminars that said ask questions, then do a lot of listening. Ask a short question, do a lot of listening. If you do all the talking, you've emptied your whole brain on the table. Everybody knows what you know, but nobody knows. You don't know what they know because you've talked all the time, and you do not want to do that. So do listening more than talking. Again, it said, be quick to hear, two ears, one mouth. You know the old saying. So in your personal relationships, whether you're dating or you're trying to strike a business deal, be a good listener. Next is this one, hitting the snooze button several times in the morning. I and my kids, I'm constantly working on them about that. Don't hit that snooze button. Turn that alarm off. Put your feet on the floor. It's not going to change. 15 minutes, not going to make a difference. You know, if you've lost sleep because you stayed up too late or you've been working on a project, it's not going to make any difference. Get up. It's a bad habit. You are eventually going to hit it one time too many. You're going to go back to sleep. You're going to show up late. You can get docked, whatever. Don't do it. Just get in the habit. If you want to get up at 6, alarm goes off at 6, get up at 6. Get up, get your shower, get the water on your face, get woke up, walk around the bed, do some jumping jacks, do something. But don't hit that snooze alarm several times. Working long days with no exercise or regular breaks. You're not real efficient. One of the things we did time studies, you realize this. Overtime is real unproductive time. Now, the only reason we do overtime at work is because we are absolutely under the gun to get a project through or some product out or whatever. Because I'm telling you something right now, you're going to pay time and a half for overtime. And you're getting about three-fourths the work. So you're not as efficient. God spent me to, it's the sabbatical theory. You work for a third of your day, sleep a third, and you go home and do stuff for a third. You start messing with all that time, you're overextended. You're emotionally drained, you're physically drained, you're not as sharp, you're more prone to mistakes, making scrap. So learn how to control your time. There's no saying that work fills up the time allotted for it. Work fills up the time allotted for it. So don't do that thing. Get up and take a break. I tell people even in my office, you know, every hour you need to get up and do something. Get up and stretch, walk around your desk, go get a drink of water. Now, don't lollygag and stick your head in other people's offices. Stay efficient with what you do. They get up, get your blood flowing, because you think better when the blood's flowing to your brain. That's when you think better. Not spending enough time with your children. You know, you've heard this before. You know, people say, if I had my life to live over, what would I do? You know, many of them said, I'd spend more time with the kids. And if you're there, don't just sit in front of a TV. Talk to them. Carry on a conversation. You know, ask questions. They'll talk to you. They want to know. They want you to know what's going on in their life. Bad habit, not spending enough time. How do you do that? I keep a little logbook. I really do. I got a little journal. You know, I talk to my kids. I usually talk to most all of them on the phone every day, even if I'm traveling. Touch base with them, or you can, that gap starts to widen out. Having fast food meals Monday through Friday, it's going to be bad for your health eventually. You know, thank God they're there, because they're supposed to be there in case of emergency. But don't make that your regular menu. You know, don't make that. You know, you can just look at the kids today in school and see they're struggling with stuff because, you know, it's just easy to do. There at a period of time, I've got six children. We noticed one time that they were starting to get older. The difference in my first three and my second three, first three kids are actually skinny. I mean, they're just real thin, but we ate home-cooked meals when they were growing up. We were always home, our schedule. But then schedules changed, vocations changed. We were on the road a lot. And so all of us, for about an eight-year period, my second three were being born, you know, everything from, you know, any fast food restaurant you want to name, we went through there. And it made a difference physically in how they developed. And I realized something. They were starting to struggle with their weight, you know, and just lethargic and some things. And we realized, man, we got to stop this. We've got to, you know, so we just made adjustments. At the office, we'd get crock pots, started making soups, carry homemade things, use a thermos. And it was difficult because we had developed a habit of going to fast food places. I said, long term, this is going to hurt our health. We got to stop this. We have to change what we're doing. So we made changes in it. It wasn't easy. It took about a year, started eating different. And all of a sudden, now that's really a difference in the kids. You can tell by looking at them. Taking work home with you, real bad habit. Taking work home with you. I used to do this a lot because work will consume you. Again, work fills up the time allotted for it. An engineer helped me one time I was working for. Had a brand new job, great paying job, great company. I wanted to do well at it. And so I remember one Saturday I was in the office about 10 a.m. I'd gone in about 8:30 and I was doing some work. And my chief engineer came in the office. No, nobody was there. You know, it was a Saturday. Everybody's off. And I'm in there. I got a key. I'm at my desk. I'm working on some projects. He walked in. He smiled real big. He said, Joe, what are you doing here today? And I was so proud that I was working, you know, because this is a salary job. I don't get paid for working extra. I want to prove I can do my job. I said, well, I'm working on this project. He said, why? I said, well, so I can get it done. He said, can't you get it done during the middle of the week? I said, well, we've been real busy, had some things not go well or right this last week, and I'm trying to make it for lost time and get ahead. He said, son, I hired you to do a 40-hour job, 40 hours a week. If you can't get your job done in 40 hours, perhaps I've hired the wrong guy. I thought, what? He said, if you can't get it done in 40 hours, perhaps I've hired the wrong man. I need a man who can get his job done in 40 hours. That's what I hired you to do. I'm not paying you for 45 or 50. I said, I understand it's a salary job. He said, no, you don't understand. If you're here, you're not home with your wife and kids. And that's going to cost you, Vince. He said, I worked long enough in the workplace. If you're not home with your wife and kids, it's going to eventually catch up with it. And you're going to blame me and the company. It's not our fault because you couldn't get your job done in a timely manner. So I've learned something. It's about better. Don't take your work home. Go home, eat a good meal, visit with your family. Go to bed early. Get up early and get back to work and be refreshed. Because you take it home with you, it just gets, you lose, you go to work. Where's my work? Oh, I left three papers at home, or I left a project at home. Keep work, work, home, home. Ecclesiastes, time and place for everything. Don't mix them up. And a lot of the stress a lot of our Christian families are going through today is because they don't know how to separate their time. They don't know how to time. They don't know how to rest well at night. TV's on, radio's on, lights are on. Time to go to sleep, go to sleep. Time to get up, get up. Make everything timely. Bad habit, leaving home in the morning without hugging your wife or your husband or your children and giving them a kiss. I'm telling you something, one of the worst things I used to do, get up in the morning and start yelling and screaming. And I used to hate it that the last thing my kids saw about me was I was yelling in the morning trying to get them up and out and gone or whatever. Always make sure the last thing you do before you go to work in the morning is you hug your wife, your husband, your kids, and let them know you love them. It doesn't have to be a long thing. Just give them a hug real quick. Good habit to develop. Socializing too much on the phone. A good friend of mine taught me one time about telephone conversations. Got a little timer, little 3-minute, he's got a little 5-minute now, but he had a 3-minute egg timer. You know, sand, a little hourglass. When he would pick up the phone, when he got a call, Secretary said, so-and-so's on the line, he would flip that timer, and that's how long you had to talk to him. Now, I've had that man cut me off in the middle of conversations. And he was real efficient this time. When he said, you call me, this is not a social time, this is a work time. I want to help you every way I can. Get to the point. What do you need? What do you want me to do? Don't be wasting my time. And so I realized, you know, that's good. Or you'll end up on a conversation, 40 minutes have gone by. You talk 3 minutes about work and about, you know, 37 minutes about nothing. And so now I've got to make up that time somewhere else. It's eventually going to cost my wife and my children because it's going to have to stay long to get my job done during the day. So watch about socializing on the phone, taking too much time with it. Not following through on time as promised with other people's requests. Again, learn to say no. Can you do this? No, I'm not going to be able to get that done right now. Don't overcommit. One of the worst habits, because we all want somebody to like us and think well of us, we overcommit, we cannot fulfill it, and people don't like us after that. So learn how to say no. Don't overcommit. If you promise, then make sure you can follow through with it and you don't get stuck in the middle of something. Next is this, not taking enough time for fun and family. Not taking up time. Most people live under a cloud of guilt. Well, and you'll justify, well, I'm trying to work, you know, make money for my family and stuff. If you don't take time for them, what good did it do? Kids don't remember. You weren't there. You're not part of their memories. Next is having your cell phone on all the time. Nothing more rude than to be talking to somebody and your cell phone ring and you say, can you hold on just a minute? Because what you just said is, I don't know who this is, or if I do, whoever this is more important than you. Know when to keep that phone on and when to turn it off. And I've seen some of the nicest people just really violate that, to do that to their wife and their kids. Know when to turn that thing on, when to turn that thing off. And the last is this, controlling every decision, especially small stuff that you need to let go of. Bad habit is not learning how to delegate. Get somebody to help you do some stuff. There's no saying, don't do what somebody else can do. Do what only you can do. Those are some great habits to work on this next year. Give some thought to. God help us do it better in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hey, thanks for listening today. Be sure to join us Monday through Friday to hear more of what God can do in your life. He's got a great future for you and your family. We're here to help you get there. Make sure you go to our website, joemcgeeministries.com. We've got all sorts of materials, books, DVDs, you name it, all there to help you, your marriage, and your family succeed.